morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's a great day. It's always a great day when we come together with God's people and in the Lord's house and just rejoice in His goodness. And looks to me like that you folks must have had a good week. You look cheerful and looking bright, so we welcome you. Oh, we have a great and wonderful God to worship and to serve. Isn't God good? Oh, boy, He just all the time, God is good to us, and it's so great. And so we're isn't it great that we have the freedom to come to just rejoice in the Lord and to let our faith be known and to come together as a family of God and just to praise Him and thank Him and also to seek Him in the, for guidance for this coming week. God is so good. I'm going to share with you this morning from Psalms 15 as we begin our worship service. It reads like this. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteous and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth out his money to usury not take you. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Let us praise this God together.
For him of worship this morning, using number 169, first and third verse, and I'll have the prayer. It's all right. Sing songs of praise and hear thy word proclaimed. Now go with us through the further exercise of service. Be each and win in the one that they open their hearts and minds and see the message of the hour. These words we ask in thy name.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, communion hymn here, 184. Is a life name of fame and disappointment with that hope of what we tell of a man in a hand with a leverage with downward just one love and a
Once again, it's so good to see you in the Lord's house. Hope that you will be blessed by being here. A couple of announcements. Remembering week after next will be fifth Sunday hymn sing that will be over to Oakland. And also we have a birthday that's coming up this Friday for Peggy. And we wish you a happy birthday. Bible study tonight at 5 o'clock. So we encourage you to be a part of that, if you will. We don't, not to embarrass anybody, but we certainly want to welcome Mr. and Mrs. Watson back here. We're glad to have you in our worship service. And then also we look around and see some of our folks that are not here, and I share with you, Bob has probably had to take his daughters back to the airport this morning. They've been in for a visit. And Mike and Donna is not here. And Donna, as you know, had the shoulder operation this week. But now she is going for the next 6 weeks. Next 6 weeks, she will be going every day for a shot because for infection and something else to help her with her shoulder. So be in prayer for her. And let's see, somebody else I was missing here this morning. Who was it? Help me out. Right. But we're so glad that you're here. And we just pray that they will be able to be back with us and right soon. Vi, we're glad to have you back with us today. And I certainly have to say I certainly miss your mate sitting there beside you. He's such a wonderful fellow for us and a great friend. And we really miss him, and we know you do. But we continue to pray God's blessing and comfort upon you. And we're so glad that you're here. Okay. As we look at our prayer time this morning, we have several things that we want to draw your attention to, a couple of things we want to draw your attention to. And each one on our prayer list, we want you to be mindful of them, keep them in your prayers daily. And I haven't had any report here this morning of anyone on our list there. Pauline, we're so glad that Pauline's able to be. She's on our prayer list, but we're glad that she's been able to be with us here. And even though week before last she had to go to the hospital during the middle of the week, but she got back out and she was here. And so, Pauline, we're so glad for you and hope that you'll just be able to stay strong and healthy, that you'll be able to be with us time after time after time. And so we have also some we want to share with you. Josh Bailey, young man who's in hospital, having some difficulties with his heart. He can't get done what needs to be done because of the weakness of his heart. And so let's pray that his heart will be strengthened, that then they can do the medical procedures they need to do to bring him back to normal, if that's what we would say, to a normal life, and such there. And again, I mentioned Donna, so keep her in your prayer, her and Mike. And we just pray that all things will continue to work well for her, that her shoulder be healed up, and things will be well. And then also we have a prayer list for David Lee Doss, 37-year-old fellow, and he's had some hernia operations in his stomach, and some of you folks have had some of those, and there is an infection has come because of the warring on one, and he's having a lot of difficulty with that. So somehow or another, they've looked at some other things that they're going to do, and so we just pray that they'll be able to work those things out. And not only did the hernias that he had operated on, they discovered he had one or two more, I believe it was. And so now they have a more difficult there. But, you know, our God works with difficult things, doesn't he? And we've had difficult times in our lives, haven't we? And he's worked with them. And so we trust that he'll continue to work with the difficult times in people's lives and bring good things about. That's the kind of God we have that we serve. And we could all stand forth and give testimonies to where God has done wonderful things for us, and he's doing wonderful things for the people that we're concerned about and we care about. So keep these folks in your prayers and on your mind and in your prayers. And
Angela's sister.
Okay, yeah. Did she get moved to the care home? No.
No, she has to have another surgery this week. So,
okay.
Pray for her.
All right. As we come to our prayer time, we have a God who has an ear tuned in to Porter Christian Church, along with all the Christians throughout the world, and he can listen, he's able to hear, and...
Sorry about that. Jean Kinley passed away.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All right. Let's come to our prayer time.
For a prayer hymn, use your number 218, sing the first and last verse, and Benny will have a prayer.
This old stand.
Let's join our hearts and spirits together and go to God in prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we recognize your greatness, your goodness, and your mercy, your kindness, your compassion toward mankind. We know, Heavenly Father, that your creation demonstrates the power that you have. And the beauty of your creation shows us a great feature of you. And you've dealt with us, Almighty God, in such wonderful ways. And we know by that you have demonstrated your love toward us. But you've demonstrated your love in a greater way than that by giving your only begotten Son that he might go to Calvary's cross to die a shameful death that mankind could have their sins removed, that we could have our sins paid, debt paid, that we could have hope. Not only in this life, but in life to come. How we thank you for that. But now, Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we have a great number of people on our prayer list. We have mentioned several people. And you know, and we know, Heavenly Father, that you know what's going on in their lives. You know what's best in their lives and our lives. So we ask, Heavenly Father, that you minister to them in that way. We know you will. We thank you for answering our prayers and dealing with the people that we have had on our prayers in such a kind way. But you've been so generous with our people, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for that. And then, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we look out in our congregation. We see so many people here this morning that are so faithful, and they've come because they love you. And they come, Heavenly Father, desiring you to work your will in their lives. We all stand here before you, dear God, and know that we fall short. We know, Heavenly Father, that we need wisdom, that we need understanding, that we need direction. So through the songs and through the message and just being together here this morning, might the Holy Spirit work in a wonderful way that will encourage each and every person here this morning. That Heavenly Father will give us direction in the things and ways you'd have us go this coming week that will be good for us and that will be show honor to you, dear God, and certainly be a testimony for Jesus Christ and what he has done for mankind. So Heavenly Father, now we ask that you bless each one. Watch over and care for those that are not with us, Heavenly Father. Bless those that are, Heavenly Father, have the ailments and illnesses. And bless those in care homes, Heavenly Father, that can't care for themselves. Bless our great nation and bless Almighty God, the service people with safety. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that you're so good, and we just seem to not have enough time sometimes to just pause and thank you for your goodness, but you're so good to us. And Heavenly Father, whatever we say, we want you to know that we're grateful for what you do for us and what you give to us, what you have in store for us in the future. Thank you for it. Help us to enter into it with joy, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Invitation hymn number 348. At this time, the choir.
Declaring the word of the Lord. Jehovah. There's no God like 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 Jehovah.
Thank you, choir, and Kathleen, thank you so very much. Pretty peppy. That's a little different song there. We haven't had that for, have we? Great. Had to shift gears here. We had been in the book of Daniel, and it appeared that you were getting bored with that, and so... We changed then onto another series. This series I had in my mind and wanted to go this route sometime in the future. So I picked up on it and we'll begin now today and for the next few weeks. And there's some reasons for this. And it's a series, and I've put this under a series, What Am I in Christ? And What Am I in Christ series. And as you notice on your bulletin this morning, it's the first one, we, in Christ, I am a child of God. So all the messages will come out of this series will be, I am, in Christ I am. And so, if you will, this week think about some of those things and think about what you are in Christ and write some of those down and give them to me next week if you will. It'd be kind of helpful to me and I'd appreciate that and I'd enjoy that. And so next few weeks, we're going to be doing then what I am in Christ. The reason I chose and was looking for to use this is because I kind of feel like that there's many Christians, and I'm not speaking of our congregation here per se, but you might fit in it, and if you do, well, we will hope to be encouraging to you. But as I go through my workaday life, I run across people, and it just seems like people, as for Christians especially, have forgot who they are, what they are, and what they have. And so this series is just kind of a little reminder, and everything I say you've heard before, and a little bit of encouragement for you, hopefully, and maybe to excite you a little bit more now, who you really are and what you have in Christ Jesus. And so that's why I went back to my folder and picked this out for us today. So be praying for me because none of these are finished. I just, as I have a folder and I throw stuff in there that I would like to use sometime. And so these are in the making. So whatever comes will be me in the making. And so pray for me with that. And so hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. But I'm convinced there are people that have forgotten who they really are in Christ Jesus. You know, you're a special person. You really are in Christ Jesus. And you're so much in Christ Jesus. And we should not forget, you know, those things. So this morning here, we want to recognize our identity with Christ, that we're a child of God. And if you be a baptized believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a child of God. And God loves you, and God loves everybody. You know, God even loves the worst sinner, you know. God's love. You know, God's heart is grieved for those who will not recognize him and will not come to him for the blessings that he has to give them. You know, I believe it breaks the heart of God when people just reject him. I see Jesus, when Jesus was rejected, you know, it must have broke the heart of Jesus when he walked down the dusty trails of Galilee and he did all the miraculous things for people, and he was just such a compassionate, loving Lord, that, and then people reject him. But identity is something that we want to always be identified with Christ Jesus. Webster says, Webster says, the distinguishing character of a personality of an individual, the source of who we are. You know, Paul never failed to let people know who he was in Christ Jesus. And we should not. We should always live, and we ought all we do and what we say, we ought to be able to be identified with Christ Jesus. That's for sure. Who we are. You know, the worldly things we look to for identity, and people try to identify with, you know, what you wear, what you drive, where you live, where you work. And, you know, it's sad to me, but, you know, there's young people. And not only some young people, but we have some others. But I say of young people because that affects us, and it affects my heart, really, to think about this happening. But young people are giving up their purity on a daily basis, getting high and breaking the law, all for identity. That fellas that goes in the schoolhouse and shoots up, that goes out on the street and goes in the restaurant or something and shoots up, they're looking for identity. One bragged about, you know, that the world will know who he is, but, you know, he'll be forgotten pretty quick. He won't be remembered. Identity is certainly something that people search for, people want, and they look for it in many different ways. Even as Christians, our identity has become about, you know, where we go to church, what denomination we belong to, what particular political party we belong to or support, and we are identified as religious people when we ought to be identified as people in Christ. That's who we are. We are in Christ. We're not religious people. We're Christ people. He dwells within us. So I want us to consider here this morning what we are in Christ Jesus. And this morning, I'm a child of God. Romans 1 and 12. And as we look at Romans 1 and 12, what's taking place, there's Jesus there, and he came into his own, and his own rejected him. Verse 11. Verse 12 says, but those who received him gave him the power to become the sons of God. Become the sons of God. Those who put their faith in him, those who believed him as to be who he said he was, then become sons of God. Galatians 4 and 5 and 6 also says that. In fact, Galatians 4:4-7 resists, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made of under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. We are adopted children of God into his great kingdom, into his great family. So, in Christ, I am a child of God. And what does that mean to me? Number one, it means my sins are forgiven. People are living today so guilt-driven, or ridden, that it just kills their joy and just defeats them. But as a child of God, my sins are forgiven. I have been adopted into the family of God. My sins are forgiven. People are plagued. You know, even Christian people, and this is kind of sad, but it's true, and we got to face it, the fact that, you know, there's Christian people that are plagued with their sin. And I've dealt with people before, and I've talked with you people about it many times, you know, that, you know, a person, if a person is a Christian, They should not allow Satan to plague them with their past sins. Their sins are forgiven. They're forgotten. They're cast away. And go on then in life and enjoy what the Lord has for you. But Satan plagues us with them. My sin debt is paid. I am a child of God. In Christ, I am a child of God. My sin debt has been paid. I had a sin debt that I couldn't pay. It was struggling debt that we owed. And possibly you might have been also. But a debt that we could not pay. But Jesus went to Calvary, paid that price for us, and now we're free to live in the blessings that God has for us. Some people believe that they can be good, and God will be good to them. And some people believe that they can do works, and God will count them credit for that. But I'm reminded that Paul, the Apostle Paul, when we think about that we could do good things, the Apostle Paul stood in Mars Hill. And if I picture the Apostle Paul as he stood there, great groups was gathering, some for, some against the Apostle Paul. And there's many in that crowd, as you read the scriptures, that thought they were good people and that they'd done good things and God, they were on God's side or God was on their side. But the Apostle Paul in Acts 17:30 says this, and when he stood there in Mars Hill, and he said, "Men, you men of Athens, at times of ignorance, God winked, but now commanded everyone to repent." And so, there's no other way. You can't be good enough. You can't do good enough. God calls all to repent. Those who repent, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, their sins are washed away, taken away. Some people think they're good works, and in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of our spirit. God has done that for us, so I'm a child of God means God has assumed my accountability. You know, he has taken on to meet my needs in life. He paid my debt through Christ Jesus, His Son. He gave His Son that paid the debt of my sin. Philippians 4:19, Paul says, you know, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, and riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Our greatest need in this life is to have our sins forgiven. And if you're a child of God, you have your sins forgiven. And God then has picked up to be responsible for you, really. And I hope you get this in the right sense. I hope I can get this across the right sense that I want it to be. But in Galatians 4:5, there we said, you know, in fullness of time, God sent His forth His Son to redeem them that was under the law and such. And but we come into God's family. When we come into God's family, we're free of debt. No. Our sins are forgiven. When you come out of the baptistry, you're a new person. Your sins are washed away. And you come into the family of God. You're debt-free. You're ready now to live, as Paul says, that new life in Christ Jesus here. And we come into the family of God. And in Christ, I am a son of God, and I'm made free from my sins. And the death of Jesus on the cross paid the penalty for my sins. And then, because I am in Christ and a child of God, I am assured of the future blessings. I'm assured of the future blessings. God takes accountability for me. And God says when I become His child, He cleansed me. And when I become His child, He's looking out for me and providing for me. And He does this through the blessings that He bestows upon us day by day. All things, the Scripture says, comes from the Father, God the Father. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, which there is no variance, neither shadow nor turning. Two things happen to an adopted child. that child becomes a member of a family, but also an heir of that new family. So in Christ Jesus, I have before me all the riches and glory. All that God has is mine now to enjoy because of who I am and the promise of God has given to us. Adopted into his family, that's what he says in Galatians 4. The same, you see, we become a member of the family, but also an heir of that family. The child becomes a responsibility of that family. Some of you folks, maybe, I know we've had folks in our congregation do have adopted children. And when you adopted that child, it came into your family, you became the responsible party for them. And so it is with us, you know. When we come into the family of God, God takes responsibility for us. And, you know, I mean, some of you will say, well, what is that? But isn't that something? I mean, that's really true. God takes responsibility. He's our Heavenly Father. He takes responsibility. He's going to protect us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to give us, going to direct us, and all those good things that God has for us. As, you know, we just need to understand that. He does that. And to think, you know, God, this is kind of out of the way, but God, you're responsible for me. You know, God, my Father, you're my provider. You're my protector. You're my guide, and so forth. And so we look to him for all that, don't we? And so there we are, and we can accept that. And that's great to be able to do that. But so as an adopted child comes in and the responsibility of that family for him, the same way with us as Christians. As we become a member, we become heirs of all things. And our well-being, God looks out to us for our well-being. The scripture says God wants us to be well. That doesn't mean we're going to not have health issues sometimes in our life. But he wants us to be well in all things. And mostly he wants to be well in spirit. You know, if a person is well in spirit, it doesn't have to, those other things really are kind of minor things. You know, we go through operations, we have heart attacks, we have different things, and people suffer cancer. But, you know, those are secondary things if we know who we are in Christ Jesus. Being a child of God becomes an heir of God. In Romans 8:16-17, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So what's that say? You know, and I'm not trying to be boastful, not trying to be arrogant or anything out of the way, or not trying to say something, you know, that sounds out of the way, but everything God has is yours, you know. What do you need? God says, I'm that. What do you want? God says, I'm that, you know. It's just a simple thing. Understanding who you are in the family of God and what you are. We are all the riches of glory is available to us. And I think we forget that. And just because we're a child of God, those are naturally parts of the things that we have. And so we have that. We realize as a member of the family that every blessing of God becomes ours. John 16:15, I believe Jesus is saying in that passage, he is saying that all things belong to the Father is mine. That's what he says. All, you know, the scripture says God has given all things into his hands. And then Jesus said, all things are mine, but all these things I give you. What's Jesus give us? All things from God. They're yours. They're ours. We're children of God. They're ours. What the Father has is ours. They're ours to enjoy. 2 Peter 1:3, according to the divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life. Listen to that. He has given us all things pertaining to life. Let's live it, folks. Let's enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with that. God wants us to enjoy life. That's why he blesses us with the things he blesses us with. It is sad when we see people not enjoying those things. People not understanding who they are and what they have in Christ. Burdened down with their sins of past. Thinking God doesn't love them. Miserable life. And here God has promised us. And it's ours. And if you're a child of God, don't miss out on it. Hey, I'm 82 years old and I'm still looking for the farther to those things that God has for us. I haven't used up all that God has for me. And God has so much more in store for me. And I'm excited about it. And I'm looking for them. And every day I look out and say, God, what have you got for me today? You know, good things are coming day by day. Yeah, we have some hindrances. We have some tough. You know, and I wrote to some of you folks this week, you know, talking about Satan. Satan wants to block everything, you know, that God has for you. But God goes before and makes a way, opens those things up for us. He opens up a new day today for you. New blessings come. What's the scripture says? I forget how it goes. There, help me out. The blessings are new every morning, you know. And guys, that's great, you know, to get up and look out and say, hey, you there. I like when I go to our sitting room and fold back that curtain and look out at there on God's great creation. I just have to say, wow, you know, how great it is to be a child of God and to know what I have in Christ Jesus. Amen? Christ is so great. 1 Corinthians 3:10, therefore let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. All things are yours, the scripture says. Now, because I'm in Christ, I'm a child of God, and all my responsibilities change. Wow. This is a downer, isn't it? All my responsibilities changes. God's responsibilities changes when I become a child of God. As long as I'm not a child of God, God doesn't have any responsibilities. But then when I become a child of God, God has saved me, take my sins away, my blood, all that he has is me, and he cares for me, loves me, and he provides for me and protects me. He's got a lot of responsibility, hasn't he? Isn't it wonderful we have someone who is able to control those and take care of those responsibilities to control them? But we as Christians, in Christ, being a child of God, all of our responsibilities change. When we are born into our earthly family, we are expected to live up to the family standards. You wanted your children. You had your children, they started to grow up, you wanted them to believe in and do things and what was right and according to what you did and what you thought was right and so forth. And there were certain things that you expected of your children, aren't they? Weren't they? Most of you are like me. It's a weren't. And you're not aren't. Your children are already out. But that also goes for grandchildren. So there's certain things expected in our family life, you know. When I was growing up, a boy, you know, we had lots of things and certain things that we had to do. I had chores to do, for one thing. When I come into the Robbins family and I grew up and started to being able to do things, I had chores to do, you know. I had help with the crops, help with the stock, help milk the cows, chop the wood for Mama's cook stove and all those things. There were lots of things to do. Had those chores to do. And so our conduct was observed, and our parents wanted us to have good conduct, and they taught us to say yes, sir, yes, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. They taught us to respect people. They taught us to respect the laws of the land. And that was just a natural thing that our family, being a part of the Robbins family, that was expected of us. Now, I'm a part of God's family. And you, as Christians, are a part of God's family. And there are certain things expected of you also. Certainly our conduct, how we express ourselves out in life and how we go about things is certainly, and one of the things the scripture sets forth for you, whatever you say, whatever you do, it'll be a good example for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian and your life is not exemplifying the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something wrong. That is a demand, or that is a command actually out of the scripture. You do as I have done. That's what he says. That's what he taught his disciples. So just as our earthly family expects us to live up to their standards, our heavenly Father expects us to live up to his standards, to that family standards. Our conduct is observed. When my brothers and sisters were at home, there were certain things that we had to do, and there were certain meal times. And I don't know about you, but boy, I look at our grandchildren down and so forth, and and where I've at in housing and so forth, and mealtime is something else, isn't it? But when it came mealtime, we had mealtime. We had breakfast usually at 7 o'clock. We got the cows all milked and everything. We're back in the house and washed up and breakfast 7 o'clock. And we're out in the field working and so forth. 12 o'clock was dinner time. And then when work was over, about 5:30, 6 o'clock was supper time. And our family expected us to be there. And so we had to be around the table during those times. That's the way today, is it? Certain things respecting the children. You know, when we become children of God, we assume the obligations of the new family. So we're obligated. You as a Christian, obligate yourself when you become a Christian, when you become a part of God's family. Yeah, God is obligated to us. Now we're a part of that family. We're obligated to do the things the family does. Family does what God has set forth for them to do. He has ways and things for us to do. There's things for us to do. Chores. We talk about chores. Well, what do you do for the Lord's house? You have gifts. Some sing, some play, some preach, some teach, and so forth. You're to use them. Do your chores. They're expected of you to do. And so we are to honor the Father, which is in heaven. Certainly, I mean, didn't you honor your earthly father? You had a responsibility to do that. We have a responsibility to honor God and let people know we honor God. We need to stand up and be and let people know we honor God. He's our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. We're to love and do good toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's you. This family is here. Number one, you're to look out for each other. You're to help each other. And then as we go out from that, then you're to look out and be kind to those out around about and so forth. As the Lord teaches us to do that, we are to obey the laws of the land. You know, God tells us and God commands us as Christians to obey the laws of the land as much as we can, as long as they're in order with His laws. But He does not want us to break His laws doing a governmental law, if you understand what I'm saying. So we're obligated to keep the laws that God has set forth. Just like Moses, when he came off the mountain with the Ten Commandments, the Israelites, that was their law. That's what they look at. That's what they do. If they didn't do that, they was in trouble. And they got in trouble a few times, did they not? And that goes for us also. He set laws for this family. And if we'll follow those laws, we're going to be blessed. And if we want to reject those laws, we're going to suffer from that. We're obligated to do the things that the family does. To support and to pray for the leaders in the nation. We try to do that. We encourage you to do that daily. And God Himself said that we ought to pray for our, He put it in those days, for the kings. So what that meant, those in leadership, those in authority, and so forth. If you hate Donald Trump, you ought to pray for him. It doesn't make any difference whether you love him or not, like what he's doing or not. You need to pray then. If he's not doing what you think he ought to be doing, you need to pray for him to do what you think God would have him to do. God says you, as His child, pray for those in authority. So whoever that might be, your judge, your mayor in Scott County, whoever it might be. And so, now, we are to support the church and to spread in the gospel. There are some people that just doesn't have a concern for that all, but we need to share the glorious gospel that was came to us at one time, that brought us into the relationship with God, who made us a son of God, who now blesses us with all the blessings. We need to share that with others. So, as members of God's family, we're obligated to do that. And then I think also, as I said about the earthly family, you know, I don't know about you, but when the people gather, when all the kids gather back home, God expect, you know, our Father expected us to be there. And I think that's as true here in the spiritual sense and in our church family. When we gather here, you know, I think God expects us to be here. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you've come to honor the Father, and you're expected to be here. And I say that with all kind of with kindness and love, but you're here this morning. We're so glad you are. But you know, as a child of God, you're expected to be here with this family when they gather. I know that you can't be here every time. God knows that, but you understand what I'm saying. You shouldn't put other things in front of what God has for us to do. And so we're obligated, and I'll go that route. We are obligated as a member of God's family to be together when the group gathers. And I have to go on to thought when I talked about the supper time and dinner time with the earthly family. And the Lord God instituted this supper. And I really believe that if you're a child of God and supper time comes, so to speak, it says that the Christians, God's children, gathered on the first day of the week to break bread in remembrance of the love of God and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have to use probably, well, I can't think of the guy's name now, but anyhow, he preached so strong on that. He said, you ought to be in church service unless it's a certain degree of a tornado coming or something, you know. And he preached strong on that. But I have to say this, you know, it has to be something very, very important or something that, you know, is really important in your life that you have to take care of that will keep you away from the table. My mother and father, if you wasn't at the table, if you came an hour after supper time, you just might not get anything to eat. And I just wonder, for people who neglect gathering around the Lord's table, I wonder what they're missing out on. I don't know. But I'm sure they're missing out on something. I've had the people in this congregation who have been ill and not be able to come to the Lord's table. And we often try now. We have a practice, if our members are sick, we want to bring the communion to them and so forth. We make it available and so forth. We know how important it is in their life. And we know what strength can come from it. And we want to do that. And we want you to gather around the Lord's table. So those are the things of our spiritual family we need to take care of. We're obligated to grow strong, that is, get into Bible classes and study the Bible and so forth, so that we can share God's wonderful love with someone else. That's one of the greatest things. Not only that we can be directed from the Word, but we can share it with others. You know, you experience good things in God. Don't be selfish with them. Share them with others so others can enjoy them also. Well, folks, as we close this morning, I hope that you as a son or a daughter of God, made possible through Jesus Christ, will fulfill your responsibilities as Christians so that you can receive the future blessings that God has for His children. I believe that's how God works. I believe how things happen. If you, as a child of God, will live to His standards, to His rules, then you will receive the blessings. And so that's a big reason for us to really, as children, sons and daughters of God, fulfill our responsibility to God, to the Lord, to the church, to our fellow Christian brothers and sisters, to our fellow people out in the world. Fulfill our responsibility to them, and God will just bless you. That's a proven fact. Then, for in Christ you are a child of God. In Christ you are a child of God. This morning, if you're not a child of God, we want to give you the opportunity to become a child of God. The Scriptures call out, and God tells us to share. And I tell you this morning that God, if you are not a child of God, God really loves you, and God wants you to be His child. He wants to adopt you into His family. He wants to take responsibility for you. He wants to bless you in the future things that come. He wants to help you with your responsibilities of life so that you can be blessed with all the good things He has. If you're not a child of God, come this morning, receive Jesus, repentant of your sin, being baptized, wash away your sins, debts paid, and enter into this wonderful family of God as we stand and sing the first verse with me, if you will.
Today, morning today.
Jesus is calling you. He knows calling you today. Amen. Christian brothers and sisters, never forget who you are. You're a child of God. And never forget what He's got in store for you. Share that with the world, will you, this week? God bless you. Robert, would you dismiss us in God's love?
Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and hear your word. We ask you, Lord, to help us remember throughout this week that we are a child of God and that we are to be representing you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to chastise us when we do wrong and to bless us, Lord, and when we do your will. We ask you to bring us together again here next Sunday, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Robert.